Right. Just looking back over the course of the past week, in the case of the US, it's been a bit of a mixed bag in terms of the outlook for the Fed funds rate. In the early part of the week, there was seemed to be information that was confirming that the Fed was closer to a pivot, closer to a pause, and that interest rates, may be able to come down down the track. We had the March CPI. That was a little bit less than the market expected. It came in at 0.1% for the month. Market was expecting 0.2, and that was after 0.4 going back the month before. As a result of that, the annual inflation rate came down a little more than expected to 5% from 6% the month before. But the core CPI reading was still holding up. In fact, on an annual basis, it actually lifted a little for the most recent month. The core CPI was up 0.4% month on month and edged up to 5.6 from 5.5 going back the month before. And that, if anything, confirmed that this is a slow process, getting inflation back down to anywhere near the Fed's target of 2%. We also had the minutes of the previous FOMC meeting, and it was pretty clear in there that one or two of the Fed governors were looking for a pause in the way in which interest rates were going up to assess how things were running. But that wasn't the majority view. We had a little bit of confirmation of why they might want to pause with things like initial jobless claims for the most recent week. Yeah, all the way through the last few months, initial jobless claims have been really low and strong, pointing to very high lift in non-farm payrolls, which we've been getting. And initial jobless claims have been below 200,000. Last week or two, they've gone above the 200,000 mark. So going back last week, they were 228,000. This week, they went up a little bit further to 239,000. They're still not what we'd term weak. So, but they are consistent with perhaps non-farm payrolls coming in low side of 200,000 rather than the upside of 200,000 a month where they've been. So, just a little bit of hope there that the Fed can sort of move towards a pause and then eventually towards rates coming down a bit down the track. Then later in the week we had producer price inflation information. That was on the softer side of expectations. The March reading was minus 0.5%. That saw the annual rate come down to 2.7% from 4.9%, so that's certainly pretty helpful. We had some retail sales figures for the month of March. They were on the soft side of expectations, down 1%, so a little bit of hope that things are coming back. But then on Friday, we had also some stronger readings. Industrial production was strong for the most recent month of March, up 0.4%. And the final reading of the April Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, rather than staying down at its low level of 62 the month before, actually lifted a little to 63.5. And you also had some Fed commentary too, some of it in the IMF meeting, some of it outside. And they made it pretty plain in those comments that they still see inflation as being too high. It's going to take time to come down. And that really there is no chance of interest rates coming down in the in the near future. They're also pretty relaxed about the US banking system. So all of that just starting to shift things back in favor of the Fed. Still got some work to do when we got towards the end of the week. This week, we may not get a lot of information to reinforce that. There's not a lot of data coming out. We get some of the regional purchasing managers indices coming out from New York State and also Philadelphia Fed. They have been pretty soft because the goods part of the U.S. economy is the softest part. And, for example, the Empire State Survey, New York State Survey comes out tonight. And that one was at minus 24.6. It's expected maybe to improve a bit to minus 18, but it's still a pretty soft reading. And the Philadelphia Fed later in the week on Thursday, that one was at minus 23.2, expected to come maybe minus 20, but obviously pretty soft on that reading. We also get some housing readings. So tonight we'll also get the National Association of Home Builders Index. That has actually last month it lifted slightly from 42 to 44. It's expected to hold that 44 level. And then we get March home building permits and housing starts. Going back to February, these had a pretty strong lift. So building permits lifted 15.8% and housing starts lifted 9.8%. So the market's looking for some pullback on that. And so building permits expect to come down by 6.5% and housing starts down by 3.5%. But by no means negating those very, very strong lifts that we saw going back to February. So waiting to see if there's any signs of greater softness than the market's expecting through those numbers. But if they come in as expected or stronger, then not helpful in terms of the Fed stopping its interest rate hikes. Initial jobless claims will be watched pretty carefully. They were at 239,000 last week. They're expected to lift a notch to 240,000. You're watching that one for the signs of any sort of break in that strength that we've seen running through the labour market. And we get existing home sales out on Thursday as well. And those still look pretty strong. They were up 14.5% going back to February. And it looks as if they lifted another 5% for the most recent month. So people are buying houses. It's a bit like that bit of a revival we're seeing here in Australia too. And demand is just not coming back the way it needs to for the time being. So at least as far as the Fed's concerned, the dial has shifted very much in favour of at least one more interest rate hike there, and away from any early easing of monetary policy down the track, unless you get a complete collapse running through these economic numbers. Moving to China, and it's a different story in China because things, if anything, there are looking a bit stronger. What we expect to see through this year is that most economies are weakening, but China, bouncing off all of its restrictions, is one of the few economies which we're lifting quite strongly through the course of this year. The data we got last week related to inflation and also their international trade. The inflation data is still pretty low, and so it gives some flexibility, even in an expanding economy, for the People's Bank of China to actually ease interest rates if they wish to. And they may. We've got a People's Bank of China meeting on Thursday this week, and it's been stuck at 3.65%, their interest rate indicator, for some time now. There's a possibility they might be able to lower that. And the reason for it is that the CPI in the month of March, another negative reading for the month, minus 0.3%. That was after a minus 0.5% month before. And the annual inflation rate in China is down to 0.7%. from 1% going back the month before. So that's obviously very, very soft. And the PPI, Producer Price Index, is very weak too. That went from minus 1.4 to minus 2.5% year on year in March. So there is some flexibility there for the People's Bank of China on inflation alone. And on the activity side, we got a surprising and strong lift in exports out of China. Month of March. So in March, we went from minus 6.8% year on year export growth going back to February. It was expected to be minus 7 for the month. It was plus 14.8. So that's a very, very substantial lift and is obviously a contribution to Chinese growth. And on the import side too, not as weak as expected. Imports reflect domestic spending and domestic demand in China. They were running minus 10.2% year on year back in February. They're expected to go to minus 5. They went to minus 1.4. So not in the positive territory yet, but certainly a significant improvement from the month before. So the trade part of the Chinese economy is actually picking up pretty fast. And some of this may be the charm offensive. The Chinese are trying to trade more normally with many countries at the moment, including us. This week in China, we'll get quite a bit of information which will give us an idea of how China's picking up. And we get Q1 GDP, for example, that comes out tomorrow. And Q1 GDP at this stage looks as if it'll have another quite big quarterly rise, so probably lift 2.2% quarter on quarter after a 3.9% lift quarter on quarter going back the quarter before. That would lift the annual GDP growth rate in China from 2.9% to 4%. So this is a rarity in today's world. You know, you've got accelerating growth running through China. And we get all the monthlies, so things like fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, retail sales. And they're all looking okay-ish. Fixed asset investment spending, if anything, might come back a touch to 4.4% year-on-year from 5.5%. But industrial production should lift a little to 2.6% year-on-year from 2.4%. And retail sales, which have bounced back into positive territory year-on-year, at 3.5%, the market's expected to hold that for the most recent month. So there's some strength running through the Chinese economy. And then we come to Australia. And last week, we were watching everything in terms of, can the Reserve Bank extend this pause in interest rates at 3.6%, to the official cash rate. And it really did require that you get at least some softening in most of the indicators that come out from here on. Last week, unfortunately, it went in the opposite. Well, if you're looking in terms of growth, it's actually good, but things were literally too strong in terms of the indicators that came out last week. We had the NAB business survey, and this is a March survey, so it occurred before the interest rate pause, but we had business conditions which were still a very, very strong reading, plus 16 from plus 17 the month before, and business confidence actually improved a little. Yet it's in negative on balance, but minus 1 from minus 4. Now, it's highly likely that when the next survey comes out, you're going to get a bigger bounce in this. And this is one of the worries as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. If business in general, and of course this is not for all businesses, you get some businesses in the home building industry which are obviously suffering, but if businesses in general are still pretty confident, have had good business conditions, they're in a position still to continue expanding their margins, to pass on any cost increases into prices, and that's obviously going to make life getting inflation down pretty hard. So the Reserve Bank's wanting to see just some softening running through things like business indicators. It's not there in that survey. We also had the SPAC March Consumer Sentiment Survey, and this one was taken, the April Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey. This one was taken just after the decision to pause, and it was a pretty elastic rebound. We got a 9.4% month-on-month rise in consumer sentiment. Yes, the index is still below its long-term average, but to get that sort of bounce on just that announcement of the pausing suggests that there's still a lot of elasticity in consumer spending, and it's not downwards, it's potentially upwards. Now, that's, again, exactly the opposite of what the Reserve Bank needs at this stage, which is continuing to decline in consumer spending, which keeps demand below supply constraints and keeps bearing down on inflation for a period. And then to cap it off, we had a strong labour force report as well. March labour force, we were hoping to see still a lift in employment, but a softer one than the month before, plus 20,000 or less. That was the market expectation. The month before, we had an outsized gain of 64,600. We got another outsized gain of 53,000, and all of it more was full-time employment. 72,200 was in full-time employment. That's strong as an ox in terms of employment growth. The participation rate stayed at a very high 66.7%, and the unemployment rate is still down at 3.5%, where it was the month before. That's 50-year low territory, and is way too low to ensure that wages don't accelerate more than the Reserve Bank can tolerate. So the balance of the numbers last week was, forget about a pause, it's sort of from the Reserve Bank's on notice. And we also had some other interesting information from the Reserve Bank last week. We we had some confirmation from one or two speakers that, you know, inflation is still a big problem for them. They've got to get on top of it. And we had those admissions from some of the board members that they had made a horrible job of getting inflation under control. They've been way too conservative getting interest rates up. That militates towards them doing more over time than less. So really, if anything, things have shifted here from being on balance to at least one more interest rate hike. And of course, if it's going to happen, chances are it's going to be on the 2nd of May that we'll get another interest rate hike now. We don't get any data this week to help give us much more information, but the last week of April has a lot of data, including, of course, the CPI that comes out just after Anzac Day. And so that's going to be very, very important. But the best one in the world is not going to come down enough to really make the Reserve Bank more comfortable. So that one's more than a week away, but it's the last bit of really key information before that Reserve Bank board meeting that comes up on the 2nd of May. And following on the heels of that is the monetary policy statement on the Friday after that too, where the Reserve Bank at this stage has probably got to actually shift some of its forecasts in the wrong direction in terms of getting inflation down. Just in terms of Europe last week, not a great deal more information there. We have Centix investor confidence, retail sales data came out, and industrial production. The strongest of it, surprising, was the industrial production. In February, that had a very strong rise of 1.5% for Europe. And that was after a 1% lift the month before. And this goes a bit hand in hand with that strong export data we saw out of China. Whilst everything's gloom and doom on the global economic outlook, and you would have seen that in the IMF meetings, some of the changes in their forecasts, the current data doesn't look anything like that. And so if anything, it suggests that the central banks still have a fair bit of work to do to get inflation down. Retail sales data in Europe was actually more helpful. It sort of was down 0.8% after being up a revised 0.8% the month before. Centix investor confidence actually improved more than expected to -8.7 from -11.1. Yet this week, we'll get the trade data out of Europe. That's actually been very strong, a bit like the Chinese data. European exports have actually been going quite well, which tends to belie this idea that the global economy is softening. We'll get ZEW economic sentiment coming out for the month of April. That was actually really relatively firm at plus 10 last month, maybe about that again. And then right at the end of the week, we'll get manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI for the most recent month. In the case of Europe, it's much like other places. The goods part, you've got PMI sitting below 50. That's below the expansion contraction line, but not down in the low 40s, which would be consistent with recession immediately ahead. In fact, it looks as if there might have been a slight lift in the manufacturing PMI in April to 48 from 47.3. But you've got the services sector PMI, which is unbelievably strong. It was at 55 going back to the month of March, and the market still thinks it's going to be around about 54.5 for the most recent month. In mid-50s for services sector PMIs mean that those industries are certainly not contracting. They're going ahead full steam, and that's the problem we've got everywhere, that we're not on top of this demand yet, it's painful, but we have to get demand a long way lower than where it is now, and that obviously courts recession in order to get inflation down anywhere near where central banks are looking any time over the next 18 months to 2 years. So a bit of a reassessment going on at the moment towards central banks having to do more. They're not at the pivot yet. Even when they do get there, they're going to have to hold these high rates for quite a while. So we've probably got a bit more market adjustment to get used to that idea over the course of the next few weeks.